live. We've been recording for the last like 2 minutes. I usually do that. I'll just hit record, not tell anybody.
No, that's
so that
great.
Way there's no like, here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
But all right, here we are again. This is episode 9. We're almost hitting double digits. Almost hitting double digits. We've got Spencer in the studio today on his rocking chair. He's the producer. I tried to get him a microphone this time, and it wasn't working. So shout out to Quinn for giving me a microphone that doesn't work. I know you're not listening to this because you don't even answer your phone. So today we have a very special guest. We have Sophia Kovach, a.k.a. Spencer's most successful and only sister. How's it going?
It's going well. I am very excited to be here. I have long wanted to have a podcast career, and so I am glad to be making my podcast debut.
Hell yeah. Hey, you. Years from now when you win a potty, what are like the podcast awards? I don't know. You'll think back on this day and go, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Hell yeah. So how's your week going?
It's been a very interesting week. I am making some big life and career changes, mm-hmm. moving back to Newburgh and switching up my work. So lots going on, but in a positive direction. If you'd asked me a few days ago, things might not have felt so positive.
No, that's yeah. You know what's crazy? If somebody asked me what I just asked you 8 hours ago, I would have had a completely different response, but things are going on my end are starting to look up. I was on kind of a downward spiral a little bit, just a tiny one, but it's not common. For those of you who know me, you know I'm like spiraling 24/7, but we're back. We're so fucking back. Opening segment, are you familiar?
I am familiar.
All right, you already know what I'm gonna say. Whose pants are these?
So I am not sure of the exact brand name of them, but I did acquire these pants from Stitch Fix, which is a clothing subscription box for millennial women. This is not an ad, but I definitely got these pants because of a podcast ad.
Uh-huh.
So full circle. And yeah, they're pretty comfy. I probably need some new ones soon. It's a miracle I'm wearing jeans at all, so I'm normally a sweatpants type of person, but decided to put on my professional persona for you guys, so which is jeans.
Jeans. Well, hey, it runs in the family because we've had Stephen Conti, a.k.a. Jeans McGillicuddy. We haven't had him on the podcast, but if you've watched Bro House, he's stunning in those dungarees. Absolutely stunning. I'm a repeat offender this week. I'm wearing the same pants I wore last time we recorded an episode. They were washed, though. They were washed. I go to the Gap for, like, all my pants.
I mean, listen, if you figure out the pants you want, I have, like, 3 pairs of the exact same sweatpants because mm-hmm. I was like, well, these are the pants I want to wear,
exactly.
So I'm going to buy all of them.
Exactly.
So I fully support this. Reduce decisions in your life.
Exactly. Why sit there and fucking spend all day, like, if you know what size, if you know what fits, you know what colors you like. I have a pants day once a year. I re-up pants because
I love that.
I skate, and I'm obviously not going to put like clothes aside for, I'm going to wear whatever. I'm not like a little boy. My mom's like, don't ruin your good clothes. It's like, what does that even mean? My good clothes? Are they better at being a shirt than this one is? But once a year, I'll get a pretzel at the mall. My girlfriend and I will go shopping, and I will just stack by pants. I'll buy like 6 pairs, black, khaki, olive, and gray, and I'm chilling.
That's a great plan, actually.
Pants,
I might steal this.
I'll buy like 8 pairs, and I'm so in. And it's so cool because for like the first couple of days when all the pants still have the tags on it, I'm like, I'm fucking rich. Look at this. I got 7 pairs of khakis with the tags on it.
I mean, with the price of pants these days, That would make you feel rich. Mm-hmm. Like, that's mm-hmm. living like a king.
It sure would. Shout out to the Gap and Old Navy. And that concludes Whose Pants Are These. Okay, for those of you who don't know, because I sure as hell fucking don't, you have a very interesting career, and I'm very interested in diving into it. I'd love for my guests to hear, if there's anybody out there, to know what the fuck your job is. Because what you talk about is, like, so interesting, but I'm just like, I don't know, maybe just not fully brain developed where I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? How would you describe your job title? Well,
so
give me the rundown.
Sure. So I work in SEO, which stands for search engine optimization. And at the most basic level, the goal of search engine optimization is to make changes to websites so that you can show up on Google. And so I have done that in a lot of different ways. It can kind of mean a lot of things. And I have actually really, the way I think about search and SEO has changed a lot since I started. Mm-hmm. Because when I first started, I worked at an SEO agency. So I would be assigned a lot of different clients and websites, and some of them would be like more recognizable names. Like I had a TransUnion subsidiary as a client for a while. Mm-hmm. I had some AutoNation car dealerships, some like 1-800 Flowers type. It wasn't 1-800 Flowers, but like, you know, bigger retail brand types of things. And so the goal for that was always get more clicks, get more purchases, like get to the highest search rankings that you can for the keywords that people search the most. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a lot of fun. Like there's a lot of like, there's just like so much you can do in SEO, and especially as Google gets more advanced, like there's just like anything you do on the internet can affect how you show up in Google search results. Mm-hmm. So there's just so much more that it encompasses. Yeah, so that's kind of like the baseline level of it. But I think as the internet gets more complex and as there are more things with going on with social media and the rise of artificial intelligence, there's just like a new layer to thinking about SEO that I have been able to do in the more recent work that I've done, which has been working for ProPublica, which is an investigative journalism newsroom. So doing SEO for news is kind of like a whole different beast because your goal is totally different. And you have to think more specifically about what information is out there, what information you're providing, and who needs that information most. So that's like kind of the big theory of it. And in practice, that can mean a lot of like very technical, like website changes or data things. I have always been drawn more toward the like writing and content creation side of it. So I've spent a long time just like writing the articles that rank for these keywords and learning how to structure them in such a way. So I am definitely one of the people who has sort of helped ruin the internet, but now I am committed to trying to help fix it. So
I wouldn't say, look, to say people like yourself have ruined the internet, I wouldn't say that. I think like, you know, really bad people have probably made it way worse. There's definitely worse things out
there.
Well,
there are.
You're up there for
things.
Sure, next to like terrorist organization and pedophiles, but like you're not number one. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's interesting because there definitely are worse people out there scamming on the internet. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the very literal work that I have done and made my money off of is like, for example, I had this one example project is I had one of my early freelance clients after I left the SEO agency was a site that ranked website builders like Wix or WordPress or Squarespace. And so my job was to test all of them out and write like, you know, this is what's good about them, this is what's bad about them. But a lot of those rankings were determined by who was paying them the most money to rank them. And so like there was some real like there was real testing behind it. My real opinions and like knowledge were in there. But there was a very like manufactured quality to it that is like, well, this isn't like real, true information that I'm giving you. It's like filtered through the lens of whoever has the most money. And so I've really had to reckon with that in a lot of ways because
maybe you did ruin the internet. Because now I'm thinking about it. The amount of like purchases I've ever made, I'm like, I'm going to Google it, see what's the best, this product or that product. And then sometimes I'm like, damn, I shouldn't have bought this, should have bought the other one. Who's responsible for this?
Me. It is quite literally people like me. Yes, 100%.
That is fucking crazy.
And all of those food blogs or how to articles that have those long ass introductions that you got to scroll forever to get through all because of SEOs. That is like an old SEO strategy.
Like the more that's in there, the easy that makes sense because YouTube video, like with tutorials and stuff, these certain videos pop up and they're like, they have like 18 million views. You click on it, and then the first 8 minutes of the video is not even fucking related to like, ah, you fucking tricky bastards, man. That's what we got to start doing.
Well, no, this is what I'm here to help you guys with, is I really think the internet can be better. And I think the old ways of doing SEO are like fading in a lot of ways, because I think the average person is getting more and more fed up with what Google search results look like, because like they can tell that it's people like me who are writing this stuff for profit and for companies and all of that. And the flip side of it that I've learned from working in news SEO for a while is that you still kind of need to know the like shitty tactics in order to fight with them.
Yeah.
As sort of,
because now you're it's now news based. It's now supposed to be like fact, information based.
Exactly.
But because the news is so politicized, everything, like the most simple headline can be reconstructed in a way that can give you all a completely different side of like the story that doesn't, it's fucking great. You're evil.
Well, but here's, if I may tell you a story of trying to use SEO for good.
Yes.
So one of
ProPublica's, I don't really think you're evil, by the way.
No, I've done a lot of internal reckoning with how much I have ruined the internet. Uh-huh. There were some articles recently by journalists I don't know talking about how SEO's ruined the internet. And at first I got very mad, and then I thought about it more and realized that I have. Mm-hmm. And so working at ProPublica has kind of highlighted that, in because I have actually been kind of having to undo some of the very literal SEO I've done in the past. Uh-huh. Like when I worked at the agency, we had Intuit as one of our clients, like different subsidiaries of Intuit. Mm-hmm. And at ProPublica, one of our big investigations is about TurboTax and how TurboTax has kind of repeatedly had really deceptive advertising and tricks people into paying to file their taxes. And so a lot of that has gone through like FTC cases the Department of Justice. And so TurboTax has really had to change a lot of the stuff that they're doing there. Their ads are much more honest now. It's much more easy to get to the thing you are actually trying to get to. But at ProPublica, I've had to use this SEO to kind of like combat TurboTax. Like we are providing our own information about TurboTax. And so understanding the ways that a company like TurboTax does SEO is helpful in learning how to kind of do the opposite thing of it.
And
so that's been like a cool way to understand like, well, people really need this information, and who has the best information that people are looking for, and being able to get around the tricks that like an average SEO might use to like achieve their clients' goals. And I find that really fun. I think SEO has so much like, there's a lot of like, it really does feel like you're just scamming, but you're like scamming other companies. So it doesn't feel as bad most of the time.
Yeah.
Because you are trying to like compete with them or fight with them for like a very specific section of the ranking. So you get into this fun like competition of, well, if I change this thing, but they change this thing, like who's gonna win? But when it's filling the internet with garbage information, you kind of have to reconsider whether that's worth doing. So
that's fucking interesting. Yeah, I always knew TurboTax was like evil. I've fallen for it. I've filed my taxes in TurboTax when I was like a teenager, and I was like, oh, it's free. And then it's just like, you can get your taxes done for free, but if you pay this price, we'll make sure you get more in your return. And it's just like, if you're an idiot like myself, you're like, oh, okay. And the next thing I know, it's like, wait, my return, because it tells you what your return is at the top. Like,
well, yeah,
is what
but
you're
the
looking
thing
at.
Is, you're not an idiot, though, is that like TurboTax this year, the FTC had to tell TurboTax, you can't lie to people in your advertising anymore. Like, so TurboTax is the bad guy here. Like they were doing that on purpose to trick you.
And they
so,
won.
And right. And but now like the work that my team has been doing on the tax guide is like, our goal is to like combat that and to like have a way that you can look for tax information and not fall for it or know that like maybe there's something else up and like help you see through those types of things. And that's kind of how I want to like approach SEO going forward too, is I want to stop helping companies rank so much and start helping normal people learn how to navigate some of this stuff because it's like such a mess right now.
Learn what to avoid.
Right. And like the SEO industry is so huge and like it's impacting so much of the content that's on the internet that I think that the average person who wants to use Google like needs a little more help to like figure out what the heck is going on in these search results.
I absolutely agree, because people like my mom who Google something, she'll click one thing and end up in another universe. For me to sit there and explain, mom, this isn't actually real. Like, you know, this celebrity is not actually reaching out to you for this weight loss. That it's like, it's fake, you know, whatever the fucking example I could think
of. Yeah.
But the internet.
It's a messy place out there.
Sure is. You ever go through Spencer's internet history? It's even messier.
Oh, listen, as an older sister, you just don't want to know.
You don't want to know. And as the only sister.
Yeah. Well, my brother's business.
That's why you moved. It's just like, I'm out. I saw something on Sonny's laptop and I'm moving to another state.
I have never looked at any of my brother's laptops.
That's good. I can't say the same. But on that, where are you from? I could take a wild guess, but for the audience.
Yeah, I grew up in Newburgh, New York. I graduated from NFA in 2011. I was not actually born in Newburgh. I am not a born on Du Bois Street person, but I did grow up here and graduate from NFA. And then I went to college on Long Island. I came back here for a little bit, and then I lived in San Diego for a while, which is where I got into SEO, is where I met my husband, whose name is also Mike.
Brother Mike is what he's referred to as.
And then we moved back to the East Coast and spent a year in the Rochester area near his family, and have decided to come back to Newburgh and have just signed a lease in Washington Heights.
And now you're back.
And we're back.
Wait, I thought you lived in... am I making that up? I thought you lived in like Seattle or some shit. Oh,
nope,
San Diego.
I was in San Diego.
Oh. Well, I know that. No, Seattle's Washington, Spencer.
You said Oregon first.
No, I didn't.
Well,
did I?
Then you changed it to
I'll have to, when I listen to this back, I'll know for sure what I said. Gotcha. And you went to college for SEO related? Or how did you get in? Like, how the fuck did you just like, were you just watching Spencer and Sonny and Steven and Sam just like dick around in the backyard and go, I want to be an SEO?
Actually had literally no idea what SEO was. And so it was totally by accident. So from this point in time, the common thread of like all of my career stuff has been that I've always loved like writing and communication, media types of stuff. Like, I've always been drawn to that. My thing in high school was that I was the editor of The Word, the magazine.
Oh.
So like I'd always kind of been on that wavelength. But I actually went to college for social work for vaguely religious related reasons that we do not have to get into right now. But that was a huge mistake, and I ended up graduating with a degree in anthropology, mostly because that's what I could finish on time. Sorry, I keep hitting the microphone.
No, it's okay.
So I did not go to college for it at all. I kind of had this weird, like, just like very odd kind of collection of things that I had studied and was interested in and classes I'd taken. But I also had worked in the university's like communications department as a writer, which was like a kind of interesting way to get first like professional experience in that. And then I lived back in Newburgh for a couple of years, and I worked at the library, which I had worked on and off in high school and college with. So I had worked at the library for a long time, and moved out to San Diego just because I was like, you know, got to get out of here with all of them living at home. And because that was when that would have been 2015 and 16. So that would have been the height of all of you having your teenage shenanigans
or whatever.
Oh, the only sibling that wasn't at the house was Steven. And he was still around. He was just...
Right. So I had friends out in, like, good friends from college who lived in San Diego, and I also love 70 degree weather, so no brainer to go there.
So how's the weather feel for you now?
Oh, it's awful. It's literally the worst. Why does it snow? Ever. It's terrible.
People like snow so much they buy little pieces of plastic and metal and slide on it all day. I know, because I do that. I hate the cold too. But I don't want to move to the West Coast. I just don't want to do it.
That's fair. I mean,
huh?
For political reasons.
Yeah, for political reasons.
Honestly, the reason you shouldn't move to the West Coast is for climate change reasons. Yeah. So that's the real truth.
I'm just not looking forward to, like, you know, one day in my California house, like, waking up and be like, huh, we're not attached to the continental United States anymore. Oh, now we're earthquake. Oh, a homeless person just took my house. Oh, okay. I'm stuck in traffic. And the water. Yeah, and squatters' rights. Yeah. And nobody will buy my screenplay. And Miles keeps fucking talking about how great LA is. No, I'm just kidding. I could do that.
He's wrong.
Forever.
LA is the worst. So.
No, it's, like, so cool. Well, he'll be on in a couple of weeks because he's coming back. And we'll get his side of things. But that's what's up. It's interesting because the whole, like, go to college for one thing, have all these different skills, and they're like, how do I correlate these things? And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, this.
Yeah. And boom. I will get back to anthropology being relevant to my current career, because actually think that it applies in ways that I never expected, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I was, like, just in San Diego. I worked this, like, awful job at a nonprofit for a year, and then was, like, so fed up with this, because I had a very, like, especially right out of college, it really mattered a lot to me to do very, like, public service types of work. And so I was very drawn to nonprofits or libraries or things like that, or I wanted to write. But when this nonprofit job turned out to be, like, super awful and I hated it, I was just looking for kind of anything. And at the time, partially because this job sucked and I had a lot of free time, I was really into, like, email pen pals. And so I had a lot of, like, I would just, like, email my friends, like, all day. And so I was looking for a job that I could send more emails. Worst thing ever.
That's what we all look for.
That's what my job is now, and it sucks. That's actually not really what my job is now. I do a lot of different things. But it's funny to me to think of, like, I was specifically like, where is a job that I can email people?
I would love, like, to send emails all day and make $89 a year.
I ended up applying to this SEO agency where the job was literally sending emails, because it was, like, an outreach position. And so you had to find, and the goal was to get links for your client's website. So you would find all of these websites that would maybe link to your client's blog post or, like, some calculator tool that they have or whatever, and ask them to link to your client. And that is part of the, like, helping build connections that gets your stuff to show up where you want it in Google search results. And so in practice, that means sending, like, 500 emails a week and just, like, having a really good system for, like, drafting templates, putting the right contact information, and just, like, sending out tons and tons of emails and, like, responding and following up. That job posting didn't really say it was about SEO. I had, like, no idea what SEO was or how any of this worked. It was just like, can you send emails to get links for people? And I was like, sure. Like,
yeah.
Like, why do you need that?
So
but
easy,
like, yeah, that sounds good. And I distinctly remember Googling what SEO meant before my interview and then asking me, them being like, do you even know what SEO is? And I was like, search engine optimization. And they were like, great, you can Google things.
They're like, you use a search engine.
Yeah,
that's half of the job.
I'm very good at Googling, so this is a great job.
Think about what you just said, though. Googling, like, Googling is its own moniker, but it's just a search. But, like, that's how powerful Google is, where it's just like, we refer to looking something up, Google it, or Googling it. But,
so,
like,
If I may give you a brief SEO history interlude, because I love this fact about Google so much. So there's a difference between the actual search engine that generates the results and the website that you go to type in those things.
Mm-hmm.
So now Google, it's the same, like Google.com and Google, the search engine, are the same.
Yeah.
But in the late 90s and early 2000s, as Google was still developing, multiple search engines or search engine websites had their results powered by Google. So in like 2002, if you went to yahoo.com to search something, your search results would pop up, and at the bottom it would say powered by Google.
That's I did not know that.
Isn't that wild?
That is
and so it's
wild.
Like, so there, I think there are a lot of reasons why Google has gotten to the like insane market share that it is. It's like 90% or more of searches go through Google. Like, it really has.
Well, because Google is a fucking media powerhouse too. Like, there's, you know, all
right.
these different.
But it literally all started with their search
That's
algorithm
crazy.
And like. And everybody thought they were like Yahooing or asking Jeeves, but
Bing.
You have just been Googling
for
years.
You've just been Googled,
pal. Like, and like when I found that out, that like Yahoo search results used to be powered by Google, I was like, well, no wonder Yahoo went in the tank like immediately.
Yeah.
Like, of course that's like it really blew my mind. And I just like love that.
Is that why is that why like AOL and MSN like died out?
It was around that time, and I forget the nuances of it, because basically a lot of people were trying to develop their own search engines in the late 90s and early 2000s. Jeff Bezos was into developing one for a while that never, like, came to fruition.
For those who don't know who Jeff Bezos is.
And Yahoo has for a while been trying to develop its own, like, actual engine or algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
But Google's the best.
Yeah,
like
they,
it just
now they're their own web browser too. Like, you know, Google,
right? And
Chrome.
They've been able to expand and take up more and more of this digital footprint. But like, when it comes down to it, like I think, I have very complicated feelings about Google, because I do think that they have often incentivized the SEO industry in ways that are contributing to how the internet has been ruined. But I do also think that the underlying shift in their search algorithm, where they went from ranking pages not based on how well the words on the page match what you're looking for, but how the links between the pages show the connections you are looking for.
Yeah.
Like, and so shifting it from being about the words on the page to the connections between the pages, like the literal hyperlinks that make up the web of the internet. Like, I think that was such a, like, radical change in how we interact with information. And so there is a sort of, like, meritocracy, the best idea wins, free market kind of idea in here that I think has gotten a little, you know, it's become a product of late stage capitalism. Like, it's just like now it's this like insane media conglomerate that controls so much
of our
internet presence. But I do think there's something truly radical about like the underlying search algorithm and how it changed how we interact with stuff on the internet that I think is really cool. So I will always be a little bit of a Google geek in that regard.
Yeah, me too. I like Google and stuff. You know, what I like to do is just be funny when I go to YouTube. If we're like at the office, I'm like, yo, let me show you guys this video that I watched. I will open up a new tab, I'll do it like just to be a dick. Go to Google, type in the Google search bar, youtube.com. Hit enter and then scroll and then click YouTube and then I just do that just to be funny, because it's like that's nobody
you are
would
making,
do that.
You were making some
I'm making
SEO
them work.
Somewhere really scratch their heads about why this person is getting to the internet that way. And
I'm keeping them on their toes.
I love that. One of my favorite things about SEO work is that the tools that you get are basically like raw data into how many people are searching for things. Like, I can see like the exact keywords that have gotten people to come to ProPublica, and you can't see, like, Google is actually like one of the pros of it being a media conglomerate is that they're actually pretty good about anonymizing data, and like there's no way I could ever trace back that you Googled your way to this, like through these tools. But you can see like how many people search for, like, you know, film production near me versus film production Hudson Valley versus like YouTube.com Diffco, like, or dying industry, or whatever backwards way I Googled it the other day for you guys.
Industry,
like, you
dying
can see
films.
Yeah.
People always fucking say that dying films industry. Like, what the stop? It's not what it's called.
So.
Do you know what, like, the most searched thing, like, ever is? Or, like, the most...
Ooh, most searched thing ever.
It's probably porn, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm.
Wonder what the SEO work going into that. Like, if like you have a porn client, they're like, how do we get more people to click on our latest stuff? And it's like, well, here's what I would recommend you
do. When I was first at the agency, I never touched this account, but I knew that it was there. But there was definitely like a sex toy website that we were like writing reviews or like, you know, top 10 lists or something.
Top 10 sex toys. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And
somebody's got to write that shit.
Well, and there's also, even if like I have never worked on any like adult website, done SEO in any of that capacity. Although I am sure the people who do that make a ton of money.
Probably.
But I do even like, I think almost every single client that I've had in my just like general keyword search, like everybody ranks for porn keywords. Like,
that's so
they
funny.
Come up everywhere in these like little ways.
It's, I bet you being a SEO in like the porn world is probably such a like, where is the line of like HR? Like, it's just like, hey, did you get my newest email? Like, tell me what you think. And it's just like, it's like, oh, he sent me porn, but it's our job to do this. We have to figure out, we have to optimize this porn. You know, it's like, that's, man, the jobs people have, bro, I swear to God, crazy.
One of my first link building clients was for a plastic surgeon. Uh-huh. And so I spent a week mining for like plastic surgery sites that specialized in breast reduction. Uh-huh. And so I saw many before and after plastic surgery pictures. Uh-huh. And it was definitely a like, am I allowed to do this for my job? Like, this feels inappropriate, but also like, I don't know. It was very weird, murky, and like,
this feels really illegal, but I guess it's not.
Right. And we also had that agency had an open office plan. So it's like, I'm not just like looking at boobs on my computer. Like, this is my job. I like promise like I'm doing my job.
That's what he says every time I go on off. Going to office expense. What is that? That's so fucking funny. So you left the nonprofit after a year, and then went on to do what in the beautiful city of San Diego?
So that's when I started working at the SEO agency, right. And this I want to email more people.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And you were there for how long until you were just like, fuck this?
So I was there for 2 years, but in that 2 years, I went from being entry level link builder, barely knows what SEO is, to being like basically the top SEO strategist. So I never made it to like the assistant director or director level, which would be like slightly more, like going to that level would have been more like guiding the business direction of the overall agency, like what kind of clients should we be getting. But I was basically just managing most of our like biggest and like most high profile clients. And I had been starting to build my own team, like I had someone I managed and stuff like that, which was pretty cool. It was pretty crazy. I was like, I have been updating my resume and stuff, and so I was looking at my time at that agency, and I really went from like nobody link builder all the way up to strategist like super fast.
Hell yeah. From the ground up. That's what,
which
like
was
hear.
Like pretty cool, and also like a lot of work and very stressful. But it was also, working at that agency was crazy because it was basically just a bunch of like dudes in their late 20s, and it felt like working at a frat. And so like some of their stuff, like a lot of their pitch was like, we live in like this cool area and we like have a keg in our office and you can bring dogs and we go on company trips and all of this stuff.
Such a millennial internet based career type.
Totally. Yeah. And like all 100% true. And like not just keg in the office, but it would be like 3 o'clock on Friday and everybody walks down to 7-Eleven and like buys a six pack and like has a beer in the office at the end of the day.
Dogs doing keg like, stands.
I mean, honestly, the founder of our company, I believe his dog could do a keg stand. I fully believe that.
That's bad.
Like, you probably shouldn't let your dog drink that much beer, but like if there was ever a dog that could do a keg stand,
can dogs drink
it would
beer?
Be his. I don't think so.
Google that, Mr. Producer. I did it. I said it. Use your most optimized search engine and discover that fact for me. There we go. So you're there for 2 years?
I was there for 2 years.
And timeline, what year was this?
I left INSEEV at the end of 2019.
Dogs can't drink beer. Okay.
All right. Please do not
Let
your
dog
drink
do a
beer,
keg stand.
Even if they want it. The tip we use for tricking our dog into thinking she's drinking beer is we just let her lick the condensation off the bottom of the can. She thinks it's beer. It's just water.
And then she's like, yo, man, I'm fucked up, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Rue is definitely more of a crazy drunk type of dog. Yeah. But
I don't know if I've met, I think I met Rue once. I've definitely met Rue. I love Athena.
Athena is the best. Rue is a lot. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so I left InSeeve at the end of 2019 to start freelancing at the beginning of 2020.
Ah, probably the worst fucking decision you could have made.
Actually, I think it was the best.
Really?
Because all of the in-person stuff shut down and they needed online marketers.
Oh.
And so I definitely didn't make as much money as I probably could have in other, like, labor got really cheap. Yeah. Really quick in that sector. And so I probably could have, like, I think my actual skill set was probably worth more than I was being paid, but it was fine because one of the things that had kind of been missing from my SEO education was like actually writing the articles. And so as an SEO strategist, I would do a lot of deciding what articles to write or finding the keywords to optimize, but we had a different team who would actually like sit there and type out the 1,000 words that you need.
Gotcha.
But I always really wanted to do that. And my boss like wouldn't let me because he was like, well, you're really good at SEO strategy and like you make more money and like do better work here than you
ever would,
you left. Like on the writing thing. And I was like, well, I want to write anyway. So I left and started writing. And that agency actually immediately hired me back to do freelance writing
really?
For them. Yeah.
That's, yo.
Which is hilarious. But like,
boss, we need a writer. God damn it. Who do we got?
No, like literally, they were all like, well, you
wouldn't who are you working for? J. Jonah Jameson? Like what the fuck?
actually, no joke. The founder of my company's name was Jimmy Page.
Oh,
which is the name of the lead of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And so when I said this to Mike for the first time, he was like the Led Zeppelin guy. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he somehow still married me, even though I had no idea.
So you worked for not the real Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. Is that yes. Around the time you met husband Mike?
I met him halfway through my time at InSeeve. So we met on Bumble. We are like,
oh, where you had to choose like, to talk to him first.
Yeah, I actually I'm very proud of my like opening line because one of the things he had in his profile was he was in grad school at the time and he was like, I'm just a poor grad student looking for a sugar mama. And so I messaged him and was like, did you match with me because I look like I could be a sugar mama because I've really been trying to like boost that image. So like, is it working?
Yeah.
And he later told me that I was the only person who actually offered to be a sugar mama. And everybody else who responded to that was just like, eh, well, I don't really have any money, but like you're cute. And so.
But I do have money.
I actually do make a lot of money. Like, would you like to hang out? And he was like, yes.
Why, yes, I would. And bring your money with you. That's mad funny.
So then I went to freelancing early 2020, and it kind of worked out because I was able to kind of like ride this wave of like more demand for online content. And I just like found my way into a couple of like cool ongoing gigs and like really liked being able to. I just had like a lot of free time and it was kind of nice to just like work on some of my own projects. And like that was the year that we adopted Rue and and just like hanging out in San Diego doing things
during the pandemic. It's so interesting to always know how people's lives, if they're alive, obviously, from the pandemic. It's just like it either or goes straight to the moon. And it seems like
it's been a whirlwind, I think, because
a lot of
actually,
ups and downs. That's part of the journey.
2020
though.
Was like a weirdly good year for us because like we were both working from home and I like freelancing went way better than I expected it to right off the bat. And then that was also we had this like great backyard space in our place in San Diego and Mike got this pizza oven that can cook. It's like a standalone propane pizza oven that you can it goes up to like 900 degrees. So you can cook a pizza in like 2 minutes. And we started having like COVID pizza parties because we could do it all outside and only have a couple people at a time. And so that was like kind of a really awesome time of life of just like, well, we're just like chilling outside with the people we like and making pizza.
Did you, did the two of you ever like meet up with, because you were living in LA at the time, right?
I went to visit him in LA on March 8th, 2020.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I think videos about COVID and like, oh, it's going to happen here. And it was like, that was going to see Spencer and Miles in LA was like, I don't know if we should do this. And then the next week it was like, nope, shut it down. Like,
damn.
Yeah.
The next week we like drove.
Yeah. We saw, we were like the last, like we just barely saw you in time. Yeah.
Look at pictures. I have pictures from all of that to put a timeline to it.
Yeah.
That's fucking wild.
My favorite part of visiting you guys is that we, like, Mike and I had never been to LA, and Mike loves food and like has a food Instagram, loves going to new restaurants and stuff like that. I also love this, but he is like, has always loved that. And so he wanted to go to this particular Italian place that was run by Nancy Silverton, who's had like Chef's Table episode about her and stuff like that. So she's like a pretty well-known person. And so we had decided we were going to do that and take them. And it was like way fancier than I think any of us were expecting. And it really, like, dragging him and Miles in there was like the funniest thing because they clearly looked so, and like you could, I could tell they felt a little out of place. And then like Mike felt so bad about it. And I was like, it doesn't matter. We wanted the pizza. We got the pizza. It's fine.
They could sit there and enjoy it.
But Spence, why don't you give your review of the pizza at Nancy Silverton's restaurant?
Well, now I feel really bad, too, knowing that my brother-in-law also felt bad about that incident because...
Well, who paid for it? We don't feel bad. You got free food.
Yeah. No, they... regardless. The crust was amazing. I remember the crust being very tasty, but for whatever reason, the one I had gotten, it was like a... It had bacon and some other stuff on it, so I was like, okay, that sounds good. And it had, like, in the description, it said it had onion on it as well. I get it, and it's like covered in green onion, like just the whole thing is green onion, and it tastes like I'm just eating grass.
Yo,
it's not great. And then I actually brought it up at when they were getting married or had their post elopement party or whatever, and I was giving my little toast. I was like, yeah, and then Mike actually visited one of the only people to visit us in LA, and he brought us to get pizza with grass on it or whatever. And now I'm like feeling bad. I'm like, wait a minute, what have I done?
That's mad funny.
And you haven't. I have. Mike does not feel bad about that anymore. Yeah. We think back on that moment with hilarity and fondness because it was so funny.
So, the pandemic.
The pandemic.
More like the bandemic because you were just making sweet, sweet bands of money. and then, when did you move back to? What made you decide to pack everything up? I know the West Coast is fucking great. Why would you want to leave?
The West Coast is great. The West Coast is also very expensive.
Mm.
And so there was a little, like, I don't know. The further I get out from this decision, I think it was just kind of, like, the right time to leave. But I think there's also just, like, it got too expensive. We got this medical bill. Like, there was just some, like, we had to do some money reconfiguring, and moving back to the East Coast seemed like the right move. And we also both like had been away from our families for a long time and wanted to be closer to them.
And he's also from the East Coast?
Yeah, his family lives just outside of Rochester.
Oh, so they're like upstate New York.
They're in Western New York.
But isn't that like up into the west?
Well, sure, it's north.
Is it northern to where we are?
But it's northwest.
Northwest.
And I think the west is more important than the north.
Is it like near Canada?
Yeah.
What am I thinking?
It's right under the Great Lakes.
I'm thinking of Buffalo. Yeah. I'm thinking of Buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm like, Buffalo is straight up.
But we were probably like an hour from Buffalo.
Gotcha. So that's fucking deep.
Yeah.
Also, it snows like crazy up there, huh?
It sure does.
Damn.
We were just on the edge of like the lake effect band.
Oh, yeah.
So
we
didn't get like the worst of it. Like, not any of the stuff like, you know, like Buffalo shoveling out for their playoff game in at that Bills
game. Just for them to lose.
Just normal, annoying snow. But yeah. So it was kind of like a weird, like, so that was mid 2022 when we decided to leave. And it was kind of a weird, like, mix of things. And that was also when I applied for the job at ProPublica, because we decided that I needed to have, like, because in moving to the East Coast, Mike was going to have to give up his oceanography job in California, just because he wouldn't be able to work out of state like that. So I was looking for a remote job to kind of help us make that transition. And the ProPublica one kind of like fell out of nowhere, because it's very rare for newsrooms to have SEO positions like that. And like at the level that I wanted to do SEO. So it was kind of cool. And then it also had this kind of like new layer to it, because my actual title at ProPublica is audience editor for SEO. And audience editing is, it's very related to, like, SEO is definitely a big component of it. But in news and journalism, audience editing is about like reading an entire story or investigation, deciding who the most important people to read that story are, and figuring out the best way to get that story in front of them. So sometimes that's really promoting it in like our newsletter subscriber list, and sometimes it's doing like, we just did this big photo essay about the impact of abortion bans in Tennessee, and we did four different Instagram posts for that. And so in practice, so there's like, that's like audience work more broadly, is thinking about how to present journalism on online and in other places, but it definitely has more of an online connotation to it. And so I came in to bring like the search element of that. And so my coworkers specialize in social media. We just hired people for social video specifically and stuff like that. But then in practice, a lot of what I actually do is write headlines, which is kind of like a crazy job. Like, kind of, you said something earlier about like, it's so weird, like the jobs that people have. And when it really comes down to it, like a lot of my to-do list is like, write headlines for a bunch of stories, and it's a much more involved process than I ever thought, and it also has like totally changed how I read any headline.
But that does make sense. That 100% makes sense. It's just like, there's people's jobs to make movies, and there's people's jobs to make the poster for the movie. Headline is the only way you're gonna get people hooked in. And honestly, like, sometimes if I'm writing an article, I'm like, fuck, I gotta write a title. I can't do this.
I was just saying article. This to my boss earlier today, because when I worked with, like, when I was first a writer, I always hated coming up with titles for things. Like, when I was like in college, when I did that type of stuff, titles were the worst. And now I'm like really good at writing headlines somehow. And it's, I don't know, it's one of those funny skill sets that I've apparently collected.
Maybe we'll hire you to like make our titles for projects. Do you know any of, like, obviously, like, if I gave you a list of everything we've ever made and just gave you the titles, would you be like, good or bad?
I'm like so ready to do this. I'm 100%.
So now we're in the current timeline. You are still working for ProPublica, or?
I will be. So we are recording this at the end of February.
February 21st is the day we are recording.
And I will be leaving ProPublica in March. Oh. So I am going to start doing more SEO consulting, freelancing, independent projects again.
Now, why do you find yourself? Why? I mean, I know why. We all know why everybody wants to have it, but why?
So I think a lot of it has to do with the ways that I've been thinking so differently about what search could be, and how I think, you know, your normal internet user like could use more guidance in just like navigating the garbage fire of the internet these days. And so I think that I think ProPublica really showed me a lot more about how people need and access information. And I'm excited to be able to have the freedom to like actually put those projects or those ideas into action in a way that I just have a lot more flexibility with. And I'm also like definitely drawn back to more like local SEO, small business type of stuff, that like where it feels like I can do really practical things that will actually change how, you know, how your search presence is or something like that, rather than, you know, the Intuit style where they're just throwing thousands of dollars at it per month. And it's just like, well, what can I do to use up my budget now? And so, yeah, I'm really excited about being able to like educate more people about SEO, because I think it really affects a lot of the ways that everybody interacts with information and how we interact with the internet. But like, it's, you like don't notice it until you know about it.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to like share that more. And so I might start a newsletter. I might start a blog. I might record TikTok videos. I don't know. No, I'm like,
there you go.
Yeah.
People are always looking for advice, and what better way than the internet? Back to where,
right.
Like people that know the inside information of this is how things work, and I'm telling you the truth.
Yes.
Like, yo, the wolf of SEO Street. Yep. There we go. No, that's most people would not. I'll just keep collecting the check. Fuck it, whatever. Like, yeah, and that identifying that, and plus, like, yo, like, you get a lot more freedom with.
Yeah.
Going the route. And that's all we want in life.
If I may quote Christopher Nolan's greatest movie, it's not about the money. It's about sending a message.
Oppenheimer. I say that all the time. I quote that all the time from The Dark Knight, for those of you who haven't seen it. It's not about the money. It's about sending a message. Start to wind down here. Now that you're back home.
I am.
You got a bright SEO future ahead of you.
I hope so.
Any other, like, I know you said you had some individual projects. Like, what else are you looking forward to, like, going forward? It's the new year. It's the year of the dragon, 2024.
Ooh, is it the year of the dragon?
It is the year of the dragon.
That's fun. Well, I'm very excited to like not have to go to work for a little bit. Like that'll be really nice to have, you know, a couple of days of that. But I'm very Leslie Knope-ish in that I don't like to not be doing things. So yeah. I'm sure I'll get back to this stuff. The project I'm most excited about is launching SEOFIA.com, which will be live by the time this episode comes out, because there's nothing like a deadline to motivate me.
Absolutely.
And so I hope for that to be a place to write or talk a little bit more about how I think about SEO, to put some stuff out there for consulting on headlines or SEO or titles for things. And I'm also excited to just like go hiking, hang out with my nieces, write a novel. Who knows? Won't write a novel.
Options are endless.
Yeah.
But so like smaller businesses, the little guys could find you and you may take them under your SEO wing.
Totally.
Hell yeah.
Because I also think one of the things I hope to convey is when people don't actually need SEO, because I think it's very easy for small businesses to get like, oh, SEO, we need to be on Google. And like, that is where the very scammy SEOs can really prey on people's insecurities or desires for bigger and better things.
Yeah.
And I would really love to be an antidote for that and be like, actually, you don't need to pay an agency $5,000 a month. Like, you can do these three things that will take you 5 hours. And
yeah, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. What are some things business owners, artists, anybody out there that needs your work? What are some things that they could avoid and implement? You don't have to, obviously, don't drop it all now, because don't need a consulting firm. They can just listen to this all day.
So the number one thing I would say to people who want to think about SEO for their website is it's not about the keywords. Mm-hmm. It's about the links.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of caveats to that. You need to have things labeled properly. You want people to be able to understand what they're looking at. But the thing that's going to make the difference is not shoving more keywords and more copy onto your page. The thing that's going to make the difference is showing how you're connected to other people in your area of the internet. Mm-hmm. And that can be the local community, like getting connected to all of the Newburgh people that you're connected with. It can be, you know, for for Diff, it could be getting connected to all the other film production people that you work with, connecting to actors, connecting to podcasts, like all of those connections are the things that Google is actually reading more so than the actual words on your page. So thinking about your position in like the literal web of the internet, like the reason we call it the web, is more helpful than just like hustling after like keyword after keyword after keyword. So that would be my like biggest piece. And that can be link your websites together, link to your social media profiles, put your links to your website in your YouTube video descriptions, you know, just like all of those things like that. Like the more connections you're creating, kind of the stronger you're making the whole internet, but also the better you're doing for yourself.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
This was fun. We need more women on the show. Like I'm always, we don't have enough female guests and, you're number two. We have another one coming up though. Two actually.
Because Kara's also gonna do one.
And Amber.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you know any cool ladies around here.
I'll think about it.
For the podcast, Spence, not for your escapades. Not for your shenanigans. One thing that you did tell me to start implementing with this podcast is for everybody listening, please leave a review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram. Leave a five-star review. If you leave a five-star review, I'll come to your house and I throw the garbage out for you, rake leaves, shovel snow, whatever. I'll do it. I swear to God. I'm a man of my word. I'm lying. I'm not going to do that. But just please leave a review, like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, and check out our website.
Get that algorithm
working for this podcast. I would just like a little bit more listens to. I'm not trying to be, if I become the next Joe Rogan, but I get to keep my hair from this, that'd be fucking great. But I'm not demanding that. I'm just asking. If you listen to this.
If you want
to
be the next Joe Rogan, we should just revive Fear Factor.
Yo. We have to talk after this episode. Yeah. Subscribe, like, follow, whatever. Hit the bell to get notified about our latest videos, and also follow us on Instagram at Dying Industry Films and on Facebook at Dying Industry Film Co. for some reason, not sure why. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube, dyingindustryfilms.com. We have a lot of new stuff coming very soon. I was looking at our Instagram the other day and I was like, we need way more stuff. So don't worry. Will Pizza Time come back? Maybe. Will Ball and It What Cost come back? Probably, definitely. Will we have more episodes of this podcast? Absolutely. Sophia?
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Best of luck. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the hell you're going to do with the freelance thing. I'm excited to eat pizza at your new place in Newburgh. I'm excited to have you involved in Dying Industry Film. Who knows? The options are endless.
They really are. And I'm so excited
to
be here.
The Conti connections keep growing. And that's all. Good night, everybody.